Today's daf is Yud Gimel. We're going to start at Yud Bet Amabet at the Mishnah. Start with Refuah Shlemah for the week. Sarah Chabat Tova, Orli Pnina Bat Rachel Frida, Yalmir Bat Chaya, Rafael Aviv Rachamim Ben Tzipora, Dvorah Rudya Bat Freda Gila, Roni Bat Sarah Avamuna Bat Chava, Chanalea Bat Freda, Layelet HaShachar Bat Shoshana Bracha, Shulamit Bat Yonah, Miriam Bat Chaya, Veli Loi Nishmat Rav Tzvi Chaim Ben Leah Etzel, Moshe Chaim Ben Uhuva, Hershel Tzvi Shlomo Chaim Ben Dina Sarah. Starting with the Mishnah. Ir sheyesh ba'avodat kochavim, v'hayu ba chanuyot mu'utarot, v'she'enan mu'utarot. This is a very interesting thing because it clearly had to do with a certain, at least, again, you have to, there was a certain thing that existed in the time of the Mishnah, and then the Amoraim later kind of explained this, but again, it's one of these things that clearly had to do with something that was the way they did things. They had these decorated stores and non-decorated stores. Okay, now what exactly that meant to the Mishnah and how the Gemara understood it could be a bit of a difference. Remember, the Amoraim generally were in Bavel, the Tanaim were in Eretz Yisrael, and the reality could have been very different. Anyway, there's a bit of a debate among the Rishonim whether we're talking about in general or we're talking about only on their holidays. Okay, is this an issue going on only during a holiday? Or is it not holiday related? But let's assume we're going with Rashi that it's a holiday. Okay? Rashi says, Ir sheyesh ba'avodat kochavim b'derech ha'avdei kochavim liot lehem yom shuk v'yiri b'yom edam. There would be a big fair, okay? A big selling day on the day of their festivals, right? You can think about Black Friday or something, right? So almost like that. And you laugh, but we're going to see that there were discounts offered and things like that. So, assuming we're talking about, let's say there are holidays, and there were different types of stores. Some were mu'utarot, and some were not mu'utarot. That means some had these, we're going to see exactly what mu'utarot is in the Gemara, but again, the Gemara is, that's their definition of whatever they think it is. But there were some sort of decorative elements, and some stores that didn't have decorative elements. Think about Christmas decorations.
Does this have to do with a Jew owning a store in a pagan?
No. This is a pagan store.
Yes.
The question is, are you allowed to purchase from there? Okay.
So it's like going into a store, a Macy's, which has Christmas decorations and purchasing from there.
So it's not really, though. In other words, it would sound maybe that way from the pshat. First of all, Macy's is in Ovdei Kochavim.
Yes.
Okay, it would be maybe going into, okay, my daughter asked, we went to Vietnam, and we were there on the full moon holiday, mm-hmm. and it was Buddha's birthday, his few thousand years of his birthday, and there was a big celebration in the whole town. And there were all these lanterns hung up, and there were all these things and all these parties. So she said, would it be usher, because she's doing the daf, and she said, would it be usher for us to have, you know, number one, gone there or purchased anything there? And others, again, it seems the issue is really the purchasing, right? It might have been forbidden in that kind of situation where that really was more avodah zara rather than what we have in Macy's. And that's not avodah zara. So, what?
It almost is.
I mean, it's in borders. I mean, it's
capitalism.
Right.
It's
right.
Yeah. That commercialism.
I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
I had an Irish friend who said, he was Irish Catholic, and he said, you know, we pray to these things with the Jesus body on.
Uh-huh.
It's like
okay.
It's like going to manicurist. I'm thinking everyone's going to manicurist. And I don't know, California, in the corner, they have like a little altar set up to Buddha.
Uh-huh.
And so the question is, can you go in there and get a manicure and pedicure and
right.
have an altar set up to Buddha?
Right. So again, so it seems here that it's only in the time of their holiday, and it's only, we're going to see if the place is decorated, and we'll have to see what the issue with the decoration is. Okay. So, Hayama Sebe Beitchan. So it says, first the Mishnah just describes the situation. There's some chanuyot or mutarot, some that are not mutarot. Some, by the way, say that what we're talking about here is a shuk that was outside the city where they were celebrating the holiday, and then it's a debate. Maybe you can buy there. It's not so clear exactly what was going on, what the situation is. Hayama Sebe Beitchan, Ze Hayama Sebe Beitchan. There was a case just like this, where there were some stores decorated, some not. So the rabbi said, only if they're decorated is it asur. So now we're going to have a big debate about why. Gemara starts off, Amar Rishum ben Lakish, lo shanu ela mutarot beverid vehadas. Okay, only if the decorations are specifically flowers and leaves and things that have a smell. Why is that? To kamitane mirecha. Because people get hana'ah from the smell. So when you walk in there, you get hana'ah from the smell, and then that's gonna be what your it's what the issue is, that you're getting hana'ah from avodah zarah. So there's a big debate about is are we talking about flowers that were there that were to be offered to the avodah zarah? Okay, this I saw all over the Far East when you have you know, they had tons of flowers decorating these temples, and fruits and vegetables also decorating the temples. Now, fruits and vegetables would be okay because here we're going to see avam mutarot beperot mutarot. Okay, if it's fruits, then you're not getting hana'af. Well, just 1 minute, you're not getting hana'af from the smell of them because they don't have such a smell. It's not the same kind of hana'af. And therefore, some people say though that the flowers were actually part of the avodah zarah. Okay, that it was more direct, as opposed to the flowers were as out of respect for the avodah zarah. The flowers were actually part of the whole worship thing, and that's why it's more of an issue. What do you want to say, Naomi?
That the isur is purchasing from them, getting hana'ah from what you purchase and giving them the money that they're going.
So according to Rish Lakish, not. We're going to see Rabbi Yochanan says that, but according to Rish Lakish, the issue with going into these stores is because you're getting benefit, and that's going to be part of the question on him. And he says, "My time. What's the reason? Damar kra." Lo yidbach biyadcha me'uma min acherem. Okay, this is a pasuk by Ir HaNidachat, but they apply, right? That's a city that goes, a Jewish city that all goes and worships Avodah Zarah. But they say that from there, we also apply that to Avodah Zarah itself, not just Jews who started worshiping Avodah Zarah, but any Avodah Zarah. And lo biyad, which means nehenehu da'asur, it's forbidden for you to get benefit from it, aval mehaneh, but what you said, Naomi, about what about giving them benefit? That's shari. Okay, he says he doesn't see an issue with that, which again, the Gemara is going to question, what do you mean? We talked about this. Okay, hold off. So right now, Rish Lakish says the difference in the Mishnah between decorative and non-decorative is that if it's decorated, it's going to provide benefit for you, and that's forbidden. If it's not decorated, we don't really care as much that you're providing benefit to them. That's not an issue.
What about incense, where you don't see the flowers, but you smell the...
Right, so incense sounds like it would be the same type of thing. They don't talk about incense, which I was also thinking about, because that was something also when I went to the Far East. You know, there's a lot of incense burning all the time. So it was interesting they didn't say that, but according to Rish Lakish, you would think that that would apply also, because that would be the smelling and the benefiting from the smell. But I don't know enough about it. Like, I didn't see it referenced. The Rabbi Yochanan amar, afilu mutarot bepeirot nami asur. Why? Kavachomer, from a kavachomer. Nehene asur, if you benefit, and it's forbidden to benefit. Mehane lo kol shekein, like Naomi said, it's all the more so forbidden for us to give them benefit. Here, we're benefiting them, and that's going to be a problem, right? We can't buy from them, we're giving them money, etc. Okay, the assumption also is that, we're going to get to this a bit later, but if there was decorated, there was the different interpretation is that, you know, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what's the difference between decorated and not decorated? He's just defining what does decorated mean. He says decorated means fruits, flowers, any kind of decoration. So what's the difference between decorated and non-decorated? Why is non-decorated okay? The assumption is that they decorated the stores. Again, this would depend on the reality. Not like we do Christmas decorations, right? But the ones, let's assume we take to nowadays, the ones that have Christmas decorations are giving, paying taxes, tributes to the Ovdei Elilim, maybe to the Komarim, to the priests. That there was this assumption, if it was decorated, that money from the proceeds, you know, certain percentage of the proceeds are going to Avodah Zarah. And that's why the decorated stores are a problem and the non-decorated ones are not. And then it relates to the whole money issue, that you're basically giving money to the Avodah Zarah. Okay, you're helping them. Whereas if it's not decorated, then the assumption is it's not going to Avodah Zarah. So now we're going to have a question on Rish Lakish. Meitiveh. Rabbi Natan Omer, Yom Sha'avodat Kochavim Manachat Bo Et HaMeches. Okay, here we have it, right? The day that they give... The assumption was that on their holiday, again, if you assume this is all the holiday, on their holiday, they give a certain percentage, right? You can imagine such a thing, right? You know, today, like Black Friday, okay, all the proceeds, right, we're going to have 10% of all our proceeds are going to Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's what they're basically saying. So, Emanach HaBoat HaMeches, Ve'omrim, כל מי שנוטל עטרה ויניח בראשו ובראש חמרו לכבוד עבודת כוכבים יניח לו את המכס. This is actually מנח עבודת המכס here, sorry, I said it wrong. This is a day where they say no VAT, okay? There's no VAT today, there's no taxes, okay? We're not charging taxes today. It's a tax-free day. But it's dependent on what you do. So they say, if you take an atara and you're yeniach berosho, right? This is presumably something for avodah zara. Uberosh chamoro, you put it on the head of your donkey. Lichvod avodah kochavim, in honor of the oved kochavim. Then yeniach lo atameches. You won't have to pay taxes. Vim lav, al yeniach lo atameches. And if not, you won't put this atara on. Then you have to pay the tax. Okay, so now what's going to be the issue? Yehudi shenimtza sham, ma yaseh? So what's the Jew supposed to do? Either which way, he's in trouble. Yaniach nimtza nehene. Right? If he puts it on his head, well, he's getting benefit, right? He's basically getting benefit from Avodah Zarah, and he's also kind of worshipping him, right? He's showing kavod to the Avodah Zarah. Lo yaniach nimtza mahane. If he doesn't put it on his head, then he's paying the tribute that's going to the Ovdei Elilim, right? And in order to help them worship their Avodah Zarah. Nimtza mahane, right? So therefore, what do you see from here, by the way? That both nehene and mehane is asur. And what do you see? That goes against Rish Lakish, who said only nehene is asur, but not mehane, not to benefit them. Mikan amru, hanoseh v'notein b'shuk shel avodah kochavim. Okay, now we're just continuing in the Braita. From here we learn that if you do business in the shuk of the avodah kochavim, we're going to penalize you. Okay, because you're not allowed to do that. Again, the assumption being, let's assume we're going with that this is all during their holiday. So if you do that, let's say you bought a behemah, te'aker. Okay, we're going to see what exactly te'aker means. It goes with that te'aker we saw the other day that they cut off the hooves, okay, and to render it useless for work. We don't want you to get any benefit from it. Peirot ksut v'kelim. If you buy fruits, clothing, or utensils, you're kavu. We leave it to rot. This sounds very much like the korbanot. Remember, we had these korbanot. If you designate a korban and then something happens to it, or you know, all sorts of things. So there's cases where we leave the animal to die, or we leave it right. So this case, we don't leave the animal to die. We cut off its hooves. The peroksud akili, we leave them to rot. Maot uklema tachot. If you sold them something and you got money for it, which means you benefited them, so then, you know, this money you can't use. Uklei matachot and metal utensils, which are not going to rot. So what do you do with them? If you remember, we had this. Yolichem liyam ha-melach. Okay, you throw them in the Dead Sea, where they'll eventually rot there. Ve'ezehu ikor. So now the Braita continues and says, well, what do we mean, ikor of the animal? Ha-menasher persoteh amina arkuvahu lamata. Remember, that was a case where it doesn't make the animal a trefa, but it renders the animal useless to do avodah because you've cut his legs, the bottom of his legs. Okay, so now going back, why did we quote this Braita? Don't worry, we're going to get into isn't this Tsar Bale Chaim? Okay, hold off, because we're going to get there. I see the look on your face. We're going to get there. So now, although you might not be happy with the answer, but at least the Gemara asked the question. Okay, so now what do we say? So in the meantime, Katani Mihat, right, in case you forgot, they do this often when the Braita goes off, on they bring the entire Braita and you don't even remember why we brought it. So the Gemara reminds you, it says, Yaniach v'nimtza nehene, lo yaniach nimtza mahane. So there you see that both lehenot and to cause them hana'ah is also forbidden against Rish Lakish. So Amar Rav Ashar, Shia Bereder of Idi, Kasava Rav Shem ben Lakish. Now, you probably don't remember this, but the Braita started off, again, this, like, you know, okay, I won't get into it. But anyway, the Braita started off, Rabbi Natan Omer. Okay, so it's only Rabbi Natan. So that's what Rish Lakish is going to say. This whole Braita is Rabbi Natan. And Plige Rabbanan Aleja Rabbi Natan. Okay, they say this Braita only shows one side. And really, there must be another side of Chachamim. Chachamim disagree and think that it's only to benefit and not to cause benefit to them. So therefore, Ra'ana and I, De Amreke Rabbanan, De Plige Alein. I agree with Rabbanan who disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan, Savar lo pligi. So then you'd have to assume that what does Rabbi Yochanan say? I hold like Rabbi Natan, and not only that, but Chachamim hold like me, because otherwise, why should he be holding like Rabbi Natan against Chachamim? He just assumes, just because it says in the name of Rabbi Natan, doesn't mean that Chachamim disagree. Chachamim agree with him. So now the Gemara says, really, velo pligi? There isn't another opinion of people who say that you can actually benefit them. The Hatanya, don't we have a Braita which implies that you can sell to them? Okay, what's this braita? Hochin liyirid shel avdei kochavim. You can go to a big fair of the avdei kochavim. V'lochim mehem, and you can buy from them behema avadim ushvachot batim v'sadot ukramim. Okay, you can buy animals, slaves, okay, male and female, houses, fields, and vineyards. V'kotevu ma'ale be'erkaot shelahem, and not only can you buy them, again, we're getting a little off topic, but you can also write it down. You can have them write documents in their courts about this. Why is this? Mipneshu kematzil miyadam. Okay, because basically, right, these are things, if you remember, we talked about these are things with the mitkayimim, and you're allowed to buy them from non-Jews if they're mitkayim, because the non-Jew will sell them eventually anyway, so you're not really benefiting him so much that you're buying it now. That's going to be one of the answers, or at least one of the ways of looking at it. But anyway, the other issue is you're allowed to even have it written up in their type of deeds, because otherwise, right, if you write it in a Jewish, let's say, documentation, they might not accept that, and they might claim, oh, you never bought this from me. So you're even allowed to write it through their court system. Because this way you're getting it away from them. V'im haya kohen, now we're getting really off topic. If you're a kohen, mitamei b'chutz la'aretz, ladun ular eri mahem. If you're having a debate about land, you're allowed to go into chutz la'aretz. Remember we talked about that the rabbis will go there in Eretz Ha'amim, that it's tamei, and any land in chutz la'aretz is tamei, meaning kohenim really can't go to chutz la'aretz. So you're allowed to go. We're going to see all sorts of reasons why a kohen can go to chutz la'aretz. Because in order to get your land back from him, ukeshem shemitamei b'chutz la'aretz, kach mitamei bebeit hakvarot. He can even, hold off, don't worry about this, he can even go into a cemetery if he wants to try to get his land back, and and that's where it seems like a strange place to have a whole diyun with a non-Jew. Anyway, the Gemara stops for a minute and says, bebeit hakvarot, salkadat, how could you possibly say you could go to into a bebeit hakvarot? Tumah d'oraita, that's tumah d'oraita. In other words, we understand, tumat eretz ha'amim, that's d'rabbanan. But let him go into a cemetery, that's tumah d'oraita. So they say, oh no, they didn't mean a cemetery. They meant ela beta pras, d'rabbanan. Okay, what is a beta pras? Beta pras is a field that had graves underneath somewhere. They knew there were graves in there, and they threshed the field, which means that the bones kind of got broken up. Okay, some people say it's called beta pras because prisa is like to separate. The bones got broken up, and now we're worried that there might still be a bone, and it's generally in threshing, you would break up all the bones and they would be very small. And then very small bones aren't metame. But maybe you're worried, the rabbi said, maybe there'll be etzem kaseora, that's the size, a bone the size of a barley. And therefore, you might be metame, and therefore they were gozer midrabban, and you're not allowed to walk into a field. The other assumption is that maybe the grave was here, but you can't even go there because once they threshed, everything got kind of thrown up and mixed around. And therefore, anywhere in this entire field, there could possibly be bones. And therefore, they were gozer midrabbanan. But for this reason, since it's only midrabbanan, the kohen's allowed to go in. Umitame lomod Torah v'lisa isha. Okay, two other reasons why a kohen could go to chutz la'aretz, to learn Torah or to marry a woman. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda continues in the bright. We're really off course now. Ematai, when is this? Bizman she'emotzei lomod. Aval bizman she'emotzei lomod, eino mitamei. He says that's only if there's no one he can learn from in his city, right, in Israel. But if he can find someone to learn with, then he can't go to chutz la'aretz. Rabbi Yossi Omer, interesting line. Afilu bizman she'emotzei lomod yitamei. He's still allowed to go to chutz la'aretz. Lefi she'ein adam zoche lomod mikol. People can't. Right, you might say, oh, there is someone who can teach you, but that might not be the right teacher for you. And therefore, you're allowed to claim, right? Well, it's true there are teachers here, but I need to go to chutz la'aretz because I can learn better there with that teacher. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ma'aseh b'Yosef HaKohen Sh'alach HaCharabo L'Tzaydan. Okay, this is Sidon in Lebanon. He followed his rabbi to there, Lomod Torah. V'amar, okay, and therefore he's saying, right, not only do I say this, but we even had a maaseh of Yosef HaKohen who did this. Okay, that's the end of the braita. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. So now, by the way, we're going to get off first on this tangent, just for a short tangent. Well, we'll see. We're going to get back to it. Rabbi Yossi says, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi that you're allowed to go to chutz la'aretz, even if, right, you could make the same claim for a woman, right? In other words, there's not enough good women here. I need to go find a woman somewhere else, right? There's all people all the time who move to Israel, away from Israel, looking for shiduchim, right? You could see that. you could say, well, there's lots of people here, right? But you could claim, okay, well, I couldn't find. Okay, so we paskin that way. Anyway, what do we see here? Alma pligi. What do you see here? They are cholek, right? The chachamim, okay, go back to the very beginning. Where were we? That we see Rabbi Natan said, you can't nehane or mehane. But the Braita seems to indicate you can purchase from them, which sounds like you can't benefit yourself, but you can benefit them by giving them money for these items. So now they're going to say, oh no, you're comparing apples and oranges. Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan lo'olam lo pligi ve'lo kashya kam belokech min atagar de'shakle michsa mineh kam belokech mibalabayet de'lo shakle michsa mineh. The assumption was, when we were talking in the Mishnah, we were talking about stores. Stores are set places where there's tributes from the stores that go to the Ovdei Kochavim. So when you have a store, that's a middleman, right? He buys something from someone else and he sells it to you. But the Braita, where it said that you can go to a Yerida of Ovdei Kochavim and buy from them all sorts of items, there we're talking about someone who's selling their own animals, someone who's selling their house, someone who's selling their field. They're not a regular merchant, so they don't pay this tribute to the Ovdei Kochavim. They're just a personal buyer. You can go buy from someone one-on-one individually. That's okay. So that's how Rabbi Yochanan understands this Braita, in saying you can purchase from them those items because there's no taxes for those kind of people. Amar Mar. Now we're going to go back to the Tzar Balei Chaim. Okay, going back to the middle of the Braita where it said, this is the earlier Braita where it said, Behemat ta'aker. So they say, V'ha'ika Tzar Balei Chaim. Right? This is Tzar Balei Chaim, which there's a machloket whether it's Aser Derabanan or Doraita. Okay, but either which way, it's Aser to cause pain unnecessarily to animals. So Amar Bae, Amar Rachmana, Etzu Sehem ta'aker. Okay, what's this talking about? This is Yoshua. When Yoshua goes to battle, one of the battles, he says, Shem says to Yoshua, it's in Yoshua Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Vav, Al tira mipnehem ki machar ka'et hazot anochi notene kulam chalalim lifnei Yisrael. Okay, they're all going to become dead. Ve'etzu sehem te'aker ve'emar kvotehem tisrof ba'esh. You should cut off the hooves of the animals, and you'll burn their merkavot. And the assumption was that this was going to cause them to surrender. In other words, if you take all their horses and you cut off their legs, then they're going to all surrender to you. So what are they saying? There's an additional value here. When you're doing it for a certain purpose, you're allowed to do it. So now they're saying, likewise here, the rabbis had a motivation to cut the legs, which was they wanted to de-incentivize people to buy from the Ovdei Kochavim, to basically be giving money to them on their holidays. So therefore, there was it's not convincing, but there was an ulterior motive to allow them to do this. Okay, so that's what they did. So then they say, Amar Mar, Ve'ezehu Ikor. So now that we've said you could do this Ikor, which is Tzar Balei Chaim, so what is it? The bright head said, Menasher Prasotem Minar Kuvau Lamata. You cut the hoops from under the knees. Ureminhi. Doesn't this contradict a different source? What does it say in that source? It's a totally different issue, but it's going to be another case of Ikor, okay? And Ikor is going to mean something different. When there's no Beit HaMikdash, we can't be machdish things. We can't say, this is going to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? We can't put something in cherem, which was also lachrim, not cherem, the way we think of cherem. But also lachrim was to give something to the Kohanim. And marichim was to say, I'm giving the value of a person, right, to the Beit HaMikdash. You can't do any of that bazman hazeh. Why? Because there's no way to really give it to the Beit HaMikdash or to, you know, to God. And if you, right, and then it forbids that item behana'as, you're going to be in big, you're going to be stuck because no one can benefit from it. And it's just going to be like a hot potato, you know, if you touch it, if you use it, it's going to get you in trouble. So what happens? So you can't do that. What if you did it? So if it's a behema te'aker, okay, which we're going to see means leave it to die. Okay, so now they're going to say, right, it's true. Right, here they don't use it as that meaning. Perot ksut v'kelim yirkavu, ma'ot u'klei matachot yolichem liyam ha'melach. So everything here is the same except for the animal, right? Well, the animal is te'aker, but here we're going to see in a second, ezehu ikur. So what was ikur in this case? No'el delet b'faneh v'hi meta me'eleha. Okay, you take the animal, you put it in a closed room, and you just let it die, which we saw with the korbanot. It was a similar thing. So now the question is, why here is that ikur when everything else was the same, right, except for the animal? And there the animal, the ikur, is cutting off the hoofs. Amar Abaye, shanehata mishum bizayon kodashim. In this case, we're worried about it being an embarrassment to the hekdesh to cut off, right? It's to cut off the legs of the animal is an embarrassment to the animal. That's bizayon kodashim, because you made this hekdesh. So now they say, v'nishchate mishchat, how about shechting it? That's a more mechubab way of killing it. They say, no, they're worried if you shecht it, what won't happen? Atubuli de takala, right? You might actually end up eating it because it's shechted. So you don't want to do that because then people will benefit from it. Velishavuye gistera. Okay, here's an interesting one. Why don't we just chop it in half really quickly where it's not bizayom because you killed it quickly as opposed to, like, you know, cutting off its legs, which is a very much a bizayon, but cutting it in half where it dies immediately and it's not shechted properly, so you don't have to worry anyone's going to accidentally benefit from it. Why don't you do that? So Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, v'nitatztemet mizbechotam, lo ta'asun ken la'shem elokechem. Here's a pasuk, right, from Dvarim, where it says, when you get to the land, what are you supposed to do? Take all the mizbechot and, right, break them apart entirely. And it says, Lo tasun ken la'shem elokechem. You can't do that to any holy items. So what do you see? You can't take the animal apart, basically, because it's like taking the mizbeach apart the way you did it for Avodah Zarah. So you can't do it here. So therefore, you can do it like that. And as you can't do it like that, so that's why, instead of chopping it in half, you leave it to die on its own. Rava Amar, a different reason, Mipnei shenir ekem matil mum bekodeshim. They say it looks like you're putting a mum in a hekdesh animal, okay? If you kill it, that's like basically on purpose making a mum, and you're not allowed to make a mum in a kodesh animal. So they say, nir'eh, what do you mean it's nir'eh kematil mum? It's mum al-yuhu. What more mum is that than killing the animal? So, you know, that is a mum. So what do they say? No, hani mile bezman shebeit hamikdash kayam, dechazi lahakrava. That's only, right, in other words, the whole thing of matil mum is only when the animal can be sacrificed. Here we're talking about bizman hazeh, when the animal can't be sacrificed because there's no Beit HaMikdash. So that's bizman shebeit HaMikdash kayam, chazil akrava, hashta delo chazil akrava, late lamba. So therefore, right, it doesn't exist nowadays. So therefore, it's only near eke matil bo mum, because there's no real isser to put a mum in an animal nowadays, even if it's hektish. But then they say, v'lehave ki matil mum bebal mum. But why don't we look at this, okay, that we can make an analogy. Putting a baal mum in an animal that's hekdesh bizman hazeh, which can't be sacrificed, is the same as putting a mum in an animal that already has a mum, which also can't be sacrificed, right? Both can't be sacrificed. So we're assuming animal that has a baal, that has a mum, and animal bizman hazeh, both can't be sacrificed, so they should be equal. And we're going to see that lahatil mum in an animal that already has a mum is forbidden. So therefore, we should say that this is forbidden also, and it should be kimatil mum, and not, it should be matil mum, and not near e kimatil mum. So this is what they say. Right? It's also forbidden. So now what do they answer? Now there's a difference. Because baal mum, okay, a real baal mum in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, even though lochazi legufe, it's not, doesn't have kedushat aguf. If you remember, we've talked about this many times, the difference between kedushat aguf and kedushat tamim. It still has value, meaning what would you do with an animal that's a baal mum? You do pidyon, right? And then you can take that money and buy a sacrifice with it. Right? That money is kodesh. So therefore, nihita lochaze legufe lidame chaze. Lafuke achan. That's different from here. Delo lidame chaze velo legufe chaze. Right? This kind of animal that you're makdish bezman hazeh doesn't have kedushat aguf, it doesn't have kedushat tamim. Right, neither of them, and therefore it's only near ekim matil mum. Eshkacha Rabbi Yona le Rabbi Eli deka apitcha ditzur. So Rabbi Yona finds Rabbi Eli, who was standing at the petach of Tzur, the city of Tzur. Amarle katane behema te'aker eved mai. He says, okay, we learned that a behema. So you, right? What do? You leave it to die. But I'm sorry. Sorry, we're back to the other one. The behema, if you buy a behema at a fair, right, what do you do with it? You have to cut off its legs, its hoofs. Eved mai, what about an eved, right? Okay, you're talking about tsar balei chayim. Now we're talking about tsar of people. What do you do if you buy an eved? What do we do with that eved? Mai. So now they say, eved Yisrael lo kame baile. Clearly, if it's an eved who's a Jew, clearly I'm not even asking that question. Obviously, we're not going to, you know, do something to his body to make him not right where to be an eved. But ki kamibayli eved ovei kochavim mai, right? Very disturbing question, right? That there's this thought that maybe if he's an eved ovei kochavim, maybe you're allowed to do something, you know, break his arm so he can't work as an eved anymore, to basically penalize the person who purchased him, who wasn't allowed to purchase him. So Amar Leh, mai kamibayli, why are you even asking this question? It's obvious that you can't, okay, thankfully, right? The Tzar Balei Chayim, maybe we didn't get the answer that we wanted, but in this case, at least, right, they say you obviously can't do anything to him. How do we know this? Tanya, it says in a Braita, Havdei kochavim v'haro'ei behema daka. Okay, these are two categories of people we're not big fans of. Okay, Havdei kochavim, because they're Havdei kochavim. Ro'ei behema daka, it's asur lirot behema daka in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because there's a concern that we learned this in Sanhedrin. Most ro'im let their animals graze in other fields, and basically they're going to eat fields of other people. And some people say also it's because they're eating the fields in Eretz Yisrael. But even in Chutz La'aretz, we're assuming that the people who are the shepherds are gazlanim, okay? And therefore, we talk about Rabbi Bakar, they can't be dayanim, they can't be edim, okay? Because they're not trustworthy people, they're considered gazlanim. So let's say you come, and they're so much so that we're going to see that these people are taken out of the category of re'echa. There's a pasuk, lo tamor adam re'echa, right? You can't watch someone die. So if any of these people are in a bore, they fall into a pit and they need you to get them out, lo ma'alin v'lo moridin. You don't have to help them, but you also can't put them in the bore. In other words, you can't do something actively to make them, you know, to make them die. So here also we're going to say, if you buy an eved, the guy buys an eved, we don't penalize you by, you know, breaking bones of the eved. Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyahu le Rabbi Zera, katane lokhim mehem behema avadim ushfachot eved, behema avadim ushfachot. Okay, so that you can, right, you're allowed to buy a behema eved or shvachot. Eved Yisrael, o dilma afilu eved ovei kochavim. So when it says in the case, remember, there were two cases, one where you're not allowed to and one where you are. So in the case where you're allowed to buy, are we talking about you can only buy an eved Yisrael or maybe even an eved ovei kochavim? Now, what's the logic here? The assumption is that why would you be allowed to buy an eved Yisrael on their holiday? Because you want to save him. You want to get him away, right? And what about, so now you have to figure out, backtrack, what about all the other things? The land, right? Maybe we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael and you want to save land in Eretz Yisrael, keep it for Jews. There's a whole issue there. And their houses also, right? You'd rather have these things in the possession of the Jews, so maybe that's why. O dilma afilu eved ovei kochavim, or does it even mean an eved ovei kochavim? So Amar Leh, Mistabra Eved Yisrael. It seems logical that we'd say it's an Eved Yisrael. D'i Eved Ovei Kochavim L'mai Mebaile. In other words, if it's an Ovei Kochavim, what do we need it for? In other words, again, we're not trying to save him from the non-Jew, right? What's the point? So Ki Ata Ravin Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish. Afilu Eved Ovei Kochavim. That's very radical. Mipnei Shemachniso Tachat Kamfei Hashchina. Because remember, what did they do with the Ovei Kochavim? They got a Brit Milah and they basically became pseudo-Jews, right? They were... So we're basically bringing him tacha kafei shchina. Here's the approach for massive giyor, right? Bring more geirim into our community. It's a mitzvah to basically bring him tacha kafei shchina. And therefore, you're, so to speak, saving him also from the avdei kochavim. Okay, you can see that underlying all these things are all sorts of interesting issues about Jewish, non-Jewish relations. And perspective on Ovdei Kochavim, like here we're saving them from being idol worshippers, and that, you know, almost the Avram Avinu Tfisa. We have to kind of bring them Tacha Kampe Ashchina. Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi says, but that makes no sense, because what about the Behema? Atu Behema, my machnis Tacha Kampe Ashchina Ika, right? Are you bringing him under the rule of God, right? What's that? Ela Mishum Mi'utaihu, Vahachanami Demimate Shari. It's because you're lessening him, okay? You're taking things away from the Ovei Kochavim. Just, there was something in here I wanted to one second. So here, there were a few different interpretations of what this Ma'atinhu is. One second. Yeah. So, and it's, is it to basically reduce, right, that's what it was, I couldn't remember. Is it to reduce their how many things they have. So now they have one less Eved. So first of all, you say, well, you gave them money, though. What's the difference? But the point is that they have one less Eved to work for them. In other words, it's true they have money, but now they don't have the Eved or the Behema or whatever it might be, right? They have one less item to be able to use themselves. Okay, that's assuming this isn't a store where they don't use the items. This is assuming, right, you're taking it from them. So you're reducing his stuff. But another answer is you're allowed to do it. Okay, this is the Black Friday example, because if you don't buy it today, today is where the discount is. So you're actually, if you buy it today, you'll buy it for a reduced price.
You're giving them less money.
And therefore, they'll get less money for it. Okay? So so that's also, I thought that was an interesting interpretation that I wanted to mention. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov Zavan Sandala, Rabbi Yirmiya Zavan Pita. This is an interesting situation. Rabbi Yaakov went, presumably on the day of their holiday, and he bought a shoe, a sandal. Rabbi Yirmiya bought a pita. Okay, each one said to the other, in other words, each one was critical of what the other did, but not of themselves. Yatma, you yatom, right? That's a taunt, right? You orphan. Avid rabcha hachi, you think your rabbi would do that? Amale idach, and the other one said to the other one, yatma, avid rabba hachi, right? You are orphan. What, your rabbi would do that? Each one bought not from a store where they were giving the taxes to the authorities. Each one bought it from the balabayit himself. Each one thought that the other one bought from a merchant. Okay, we're going back to where we started today about the difference between the merchant and the balabayit himself. What?
Except that that's maripayin.
It's maripayin, I guess. Right. Well, here each one definitely at least thought that the other was buying from a merchant. But again, you could say, right, why each one thought that the other one bought from a merchant is unclear. In other words, it could be they didn't actually, and as I assume, they just saw each other with the purchase and just didn't know where they got the purchase from. Although you'd think if he just bought it from a balabayit, he might have at least had the forethought to think maybe the other one also did. Anyway, Da'amar Rabbi Abba Bered Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Lo Shanu Ela Belokech Min HaTagar Deshakle Michse Mine Aval Belokech Mi Balabayit Lo Shakle Mine Michse Muta. Right, as Rabbi Abba says, that it's all only if you buy it from the merchant, because he's giving the tax, whereas the Balabayit himself is not giving the tax. I was thinking this like when you pay in cash, right? So you know that someone's not actually paying the taxes on it. Amar Rabbi Abba Bered Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Il Malei Haya Rabbi Yochanan Hazimna Ba'atra Dekashakle Michsa Afilu Mibala Bayit Hava Aser. So he says, right, had I not seen Rabbi Yochanan doing this, right, then 1 second. Oh no, sorry, I knew it right. Okay, he says if Rabbi Yochanan was Bazman Hazeh, okay, ba'atra delos shakle michse afilu mibalabayit. Rabbi Yochanan said, right, he made this distinction, but he's saying, well, Rabbi Yochanan here today, where nowadays even the balabayit pays the taxes, right? Anyone who does work for you or you any kind of sale, they pay taxes. Hava aser, he would oser this. Okay, so then they say, well, if that's the case, then Ela'inu Hechizavin. So then how did these guys, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiya, buy from the Balabayit if nowadays everything's different? So what do they say? Mi Balabayit She'eno Kavua Zabin. There's two different kinds of Balabayits, okay? Maybe you would say to like nowadays, in Israel anyway, right? There's, I guess in America too, I just know the way it works here, which is there's people who have stores, right? And there are formalized stores that pay mom and all that. And then there's people who open their own private business, right? Where they might do it out of their home, but it's a private business. So if you buy from one of those people, then you assume they're paying taxes. But if you buy it from someone who just sells on a one-off, they're most likely not paying taxes on it, and then you can buy from them. So that's the assumption, is they each bought the sandal and the bread from someone who, right, we won't get into Parakum, okay, we'll have to deal with that down the road when we get to Parakum, why that wasn't an issue of Parakum. But anyway, so the idea being that there's now three levels, right? There's store owners, there's people who sell things from their house but are similar to store owners who pay taxes, who most of the people in the time of Rabbi Yochanan already, they're saying, were like that. And then there's people who sell on a one-off and they're not paying taxes, and then those people that will be allowed to.
Like Yad Shtayim.
Like what?
Like Yad Shtayim.
Yad Shtayim, right, exactly.